Lord, hold my head. Lord, hold my head. Will I rise? We're singing, Lord, hold my head. Oh, I run. Come on and we're singing, Lord, hold my hand while I because I don't want to run this race in vain, race in vain.
Amen, amen. We serve a good God. We serve a good God. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. I'm always reminded of the words that David said in Psalm 27, verse number 4. He said, the one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David wanted to be in the house of the Lord. He wanted to give thanks to God, give praises to God for all that he has done for him in his life. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. So it's a grateful and thankful mindset that we always should be in. And Paul gives instruction to the church in Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18, he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He wants us to be grateful, no matter the condition or the circumstances, being a grateful and thankful mindset. And I just thank God for today. I thank God for this preaching opportunity. I want to thank all those that are visiting with us today. You truly are honored guests, and the elders will acknowledge the visitors at the end of the service. I want to thank all those that are watching by way of television. We hope, trust, and pray that one day you can come out and be and worship with us in prison. And we hope, trust, and pray that you'll hear a word from the Lord that will touch your heart in such a way to make you want to know more about what God expects from us. And we hope, trust, and pray that you have a desire to want to live up to those expectations. Amen? Amen. And we're going to say what the Bible says. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's benefit to us. It's so much wisdom in the body in the Bible. We just apply it to our life. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instructions in righteousness. We have his instructions that lead us into his righteousness. Amen. So we just want to just thank all y'all for coming out. Thank the leadership here. And we pray for Brother Gary Smith and everybody who's at the marriage retreat. Thank you for the prayer this morning, brother. So we want to continue to pray for them. Before we get started, I wanted to ask Brother Gerby if he want to come up and say a word of prayer in Spanish, if you don't mind.
Santo Padre, Dios Todopoderoso,
All Powerful God,
Señor, estamos ante tu presencia.
Father, we are in your presence.
Yes, sir.
Para decirte que estamos aquí porque queremos hacer tu voluntad.
To tell you that we are here because we want to do your will.
Señor, gracias porque te tenemos a ti como nuestro Dios.
Thank you, God, for allowing us to have you as our God.
Señor, te amamos.
God, we love you.
Señor, gracias porque somos especiales ante tus ojos.
Thank you, Father, for us being special in your eyes.
Gracias, Señor, porque somos importantes.
Thank you for allowing us to be important in your eyes, Father.
Somos cristianos y cristianas.
We are Christians, men and women.
Señor, muchas gracias por nuestras familias que tú nos has regalado.
Thank you, Father, for the families that you have given unto us.
Gracias por tu iglesia aquí en Fifth Ward.
Thank you, Father, for your church here in Fifth Ward.
Señor, gracias por nuestros ancianos y diáconos.
Thank you, Father, for our deacons and our elders.
Yes, sir.
Nuestros predicadores.
Thank you for our preachers.
Nuestros maestros.
Thank you for our teachers.
Todos nuestros miembros.
All of the members.
Gracias por los niños y los jóvenes.
Thank you for the babies and the teenagers.
Por los ancianos.
Thank you for the elders, the elders.
Señor, todos somos importantes.
All of us are important.
Queremos decirte, Padre, que nos cuides,
We want to tell you, Father, thank you for taking care of us, for helping us.
Nos ayudes a crecer.
You help us to grow.
Que podamos, Señor, ser siempre unidos.
That we might always be united together.
Que podamos ser siempre, Señor, saber que somos cristianos.
That we might always know that we are Christians.
Amen.
Te pedimos por los que sufren.
We ask a blessing for those who suffer.
Los que tienen necesidades.
Those who are in need.
Señor, te pedimos por los nuevos miembros de tu iglesia.
We ask a blessing for the new members of the family.
Yes.
Te pedimos, Señor, por el predicador en esta hora.
We ask a blessing for the preacher of this hour.
Thank you.
Señor, que seamos edificados todos.
That we might all be edified.
Amen.
Gracias por tu Hijo Jesucristo, quien murió por nosotros en la cruz del Calvario.
Thank you for your Son who died on Calvary's cross for us.
En el nombre de Él oramos estas cosas.
In His name we do pray these things.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Amen. Now my understanding is this is one combined worship service. Amen. So that means it's not another service after this one. Amen. So we can take our time a little bit and relax and take our time a little. Is that all right? So y'all just relax, kick your shoes off. Right? Make it so we're not rushing today, right? We're not going to rush through this lesson. Amen? Is that all right? Let's dive right in. Let's go turn to your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. What I'm going to do, I'm going to read verse 8 through 14. And thank the brother for reading this morning. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 8 through 14. Say amen if you're there. And the Bible reads, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And ye being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." The title of the sermon today is Complete in Christ.
Amen.
Complete in Christ. Being complete in Christ means because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, God now sees us as having everything we need to live a life that's acceptable and pleasing in his sight.
Amen.
God now sees us as having everything we need to get from earth to glory. I come to the point in my life that I'm becoming more concerned about how does God see me? How does God view me? What is God's perspective of me? Not so much in how do men see me? What's man's view? What's man's perspective of me? Amen. I want to come now and see, how does God see me? Because when it's all said and done, God has all power, and God is going to be one to make the final decision concerning me. So I want to be more concerned about how does God see me. It's not that I'm not concerned about my reputation. It's not that I'm not concerned about my integrity among men. But I want to be now focused on how does God see me. The psalmist said in Psalm 19, verse number 14, he said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, who is my strength and my redeemer." The psalmist was concerned about how does God view me? How does God see me? Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse number 10, he said, "For if I persuade men and not God," he said, "if I persuade men, if I seek the approval of man, or if I seek to please man, am I not the servant of Jesus Christ?" He said, now, if I'm going about trying to please men and get man's approval and live up to man's expectation, he said, I'm not the servant of Jesus Christ. I want to now How does God view me? Because we'll be torn apart every way trying to please men and trying to live up to man's expectation. And Paul wanted them to know in Church of Christ and Galatians, he wanted them to know that we are complete in Christ. When we, because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, God now sees us as complete in him, having everything we need in this life to live acceptable and pleasing to him. Peter also taught this same concept. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Peter, the Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained like precious faith as us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's saying, because through this righteousness of Jesus Christ that we obtain, we're in a like precious faith. God now sees us now in the same light, Jews and Gentiles, because of our relationship with Christ. And he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Because of this relationship with Christ, we now entering into the knowledge of God, and it gives us grace and peace. Amen. Verse number 3, he said, according to as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. Amen. Peter is teaching this too. He said, now God has given us everything that we need in this life to live a life acceptable and pleasing in his sight. We got to get to the point where I want to please God. I want to be pleasing to God. Amen. And Paul now, he's writing this church because Paul received word. He was in prison in time in Rome, and he receives word from Epaphras, the minister there in Colossae, that there was a teachings, there was false teachings going on in the church. Sometimes we always talk about false teaching outside the church, but it'd be false teaching going on inside the church. And he said he wanted to warn about this false teaching that was going on inside the church. And over there in Colossae, it was a group of Gnostics, and they were saying that Christ wasn't enough, that Christ wasn't sufficient enough. Right. Christ in and of himself was not enough to get us from earth to glory. Right. And the Gnostics were saying that they had to have their knowledge. They had this secret knowledge, proclaimed secret knowledge, and that the Christians there had to have Christ plus their knowledge, that there wasn't enough, that they wasn't complete in Christ and Christ alone. Right. And also it was a group of Jews over there who were saying that Jesus was not enough. That they had to have the Old Testament law, that they had to have the Mosaic law, that we had to have Christ plus the Mosaic law. Right. And Paul wants them to understand and get their mind wrapped around this concept that we are complete in Christ. Because of our relationship with Christ, God sees us as having everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. So he gives this warning to them. He says in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8, he says, beware. Lest any man spoil you. To spoil you is to carry you away, to take you captive, to cause you to lose your identity. He said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, empty promises, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, the elements of the world, the influence of the world, and not after Christ. Christ should be our influence. Christ's teaching should be our, not the influence of the world. And sometimes we're so concerned about what the world thinks of us, how the world sees us, how the world views us, and we need to be more concerned how Christ sees us and how we're seen in him. He said, now, he says, and in him, verse number 9, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Some people struggle with this. They struggle with the idea of God in the flesh. They struggle with the idea of God dwelling in the physical body of Jesus Christ. They struggle with this, but John tried to help us with this in John chapter 1, verse number 1. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God has the ability to manifest his Word into existence, to speak his Word into existence. We learn in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3, the Bible says, through faith we understand that the worlds was framed by the Word of God. This is our faith, that we understand that the worlds was framed by the Word of God. He has the ability to speak his Word into existence. John says in John chapter 1, verse number 14, and he said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He said, now he said, we beheld his glory. John was not talking about what he heard about. He talked, they were eyewitness. We have eyewitness testimony that he affirmed the deity of Jesus Christ. I was on the phone with a brother talking, and he was telling me that the concept of the deity of Jesus Christ came from Constantine and the Council of Nicaea. And I said, no, when you study recorded history, John was in existence way before Constantine and the Council of Nicaea. The concept of the deity in Jesus Christ did not come from Constantine. These brothers bear what they said, we beheld the glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They watched him turn water into wine. They watched him heal the sick. They watched him raise the dead. They watched him heal the blind. They watched him walk on water. They watched him feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They watched him speak to the winds and tell the storm to be still. They watched him put a man's ear back on his head. Come on now. They met with him after his resurrection. They watched him ascend up into the heavens. They affirmed the deity of Jesus Christ. And when it was all said and done, Jesus talking to Thomas now, he said, this is the bottom line. When it's all said and done, he said in John chapter 14, verse number 6. John chapter 4, where he says to Thomas, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. Nobody is getting to God the Father except by Jesus Christ. Amen. No man. You don't have to be a Jew. You don't have to be a Gentile. You don't have to be born in a certain area. You don't have to be from a certain tribe. What we have to do is have our relationship in Jesus Christ. And that gives us access now to God the Father. Write this down. Point number one, write this down. Because of our relationship in Jesus Christ, because of this relationship, we now have access to God the Father. Put the point up there for me, brother. Put the point up there. There we go. Because of this relationship that we have, we now have access to God the Father. And Paul taught this concept to the church in Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 11, he wanted to remind them what Christ did for them. He said, wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. He said, listen, the Jews were called the Gentiles, the uncircumcision. He said that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. They did not have a covenant relationship with God. Verse 13, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. He paid the price for us. For he is our peace who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There's no more Jew and Gentile. Amen. Amen. He said, now we are all one in Christ. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, sin separates us from God. Amen. So he said, has abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, and both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. This is what he needs, want us to know what Jesus did for us at the cross. Verse number 17, he said, and he came and preached peace to you that were far and to them that are near. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. It's through our relationship through Jesus Christ now that we have access to God the Father. And I had to understand this and get this that we're not, God doesn't see us as lacking anything because we have access to him. If God is the source of everything, God, he said, I'm the source of everything. You got access to me. You're not lacking nothing. He doesn't see it in terms. He don't see us in terms of lacking anything. Why? Because you connected to the source. I remember I used to keep my nephew. My nephew was little. My sister dropped my nephew off and we would go in the store and my nephew say, ooh, I want that and I want this and I want that. And I look at him like he crazy. I said, this little dude. I said, you think money grown trees? I was talking like mom. I was sounding like my mom. You think? But he didn't see in terms of lack. He said, you the source. Well, I wasn't the source. I had to let him know I wasn't the source. But look at how he sees it now. He said, look, I'm connected to the source and everything. Do we have that same perspective? Do we look at, I'm connected to the source. There's no such thing as lack if I'm connected, if I'm complete in Christ. God taught this concept. He wanted Solomon to teach this to the children of Israel. He said in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. He said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. What was going on at the time, it hadn't rained and the land was dry, and dry land doesn't produce. And so they were looking at themselves as lacking, and other nations was looking at them as lacking. But he said, don't be concerned about the dry land. I can heal the dry land. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. Watch this. And I'll heal the land. Don't worry about the dry land. He can make dry land produce. He is no such thing as lack concerning him. Is that all right? So when we know he want them to understand something, they had their mind in the wrong place. Understand, you connected to the source. So you connected to the source is no lack. Now we just got to come to God, to the Father. Amen.
Amen.
And I thought about this. It was a level that I had to get to of understanding I'm connected to the source. But it was another level I had to get to, understanding the will of God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 14, he said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hear us. I had to realize it had to be according to his will. Yes, you connected to the source, but God doesn't have everything for your life. He don't want everything in your life. It has to be according to his will. Amen. Y'all mind if I talk to the singles for one? Can I speak a word to the singles? Is that all right? I know we have some married people in here. Y'all didn't go to retreat. Y'all didn't go, but just hold on. Can I talk to the singles for a minute?
Amen.
I teach a singles class here, and sometimes we talk and we pray together with one another, and sometimes we wonder why are we not married yet, or why this relationship didn't work out, or why that didn't work out. But sometimes God doesn't have everything that we want for us. Sometimes we want things that God don't want for us. And so I had to understand this. And I was reading Jeremiah chapter 16. I want all the singles in here. If you read that chapter, I want you to read Jeremiah chapter 16. But we're going to look at 1 and 2 right now. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Listen, what the words of the Lord came to me. This is Jeremiah saying. He said, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shall thou have sons and daughters in this place. God was sending Jeremiah to a place with some wicked people. They were wicked. They were ungodly. And God was getting ready to punish them. And he was sending Jeremiah there now to go talk to him. But before he sent them, he said, don't take a wife over there. And not only don't take a wife, don't sleep with them either. Don't have no baby. Y'all all right? Don't have no babies, mom. He said, listen, God is not going to hook you up with no evil, wicked, ungodly person. That's not what he has for you. If somebody is treating you evil and wicked and they showing you they ungodly, you don't have to pray on your knees and say, God, is this what you have for me? No, that's not what he has for you. He's not going to tell Jeremiah, don't marry anybody over there. Don't sleep with them. Don't have babies by them. That's not what I have for you. We got to understand it's got to be according to his will. He's not going to hook us up with ungodly people. It's not going to happen. We can pray all we want to pray. He said, this is the confidence that we have in him. So what if we ask anything according to his will, he hear us. And we can learn from Jeremiah, it was not his will that he hook up with any ungodly, evil, unrighteous people. He was getting ready to punish them. And now if you over there with him, who going to fall into this punishment? We got to watch who we hanging with. We got to watch who we hooking up with. He might be trying to save us from something. Amen. And we got to stop trying to live up to other people's expectations of us. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verse 26, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. He talked about the flood. In verse 27, he said that they did eat and they drank and they married wives and they were given in marriage until Noah entered into the ark. And the floods came and destroyed all of them. Jesus saying that their marriages didn't save them. You don't have to be married to be saved. Y'all all right? Jesus saying, destroyed all of them. Their marriages didn't save them. I'm not talking against marriage, but you need to understand you are complete in Christ. Don't let no member of the body of Christ make you think you have to be married to be complete in God. Their marriages didn't save them. This is what Jesus said, not what I said. We are complete in Christ because of our relationship with Christ. Amen. Because of your relationship with Christ, you are complete in Christ. Don't let anybody cause you to feel inadequate or insufficient because you're not married yet. Stop trying to please people and stop worrying about how they view you and worry about how does God view me. Amen. He said, likewise also in the days of Lot, verse number 29, he said, likewise also in the days of Lot. He said, they did eat and drink. They bought and they sold, they planted and they built. This is prosperity. And he said, but in that same day when Lot went out of Sodom, he said, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. What you saying, Vincent? Their prosperity didn't save them. Sometimes people look at us and they see lack. Your money might be a little funny right now, something going on. And they're like, well, you're a Christian, right? You in the body of Christ. Why are you struggling? Why are you? And you don't let them cause you to feel inadequate. You are complete in Christ. Their money not going to save them. Prosperity not going to save nobody. We save because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. He said that they were bought, they sold, they planted, and they built. It was prosperity, but it didn't save them. Prosperity not going to save us. These marriages not. You can get married and go away from the church. Don't let a marriage cause you to leave Christ. We complete in him because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Not that we're going to leave. We're going to get married and now leave the church and think we are right because we done got married. Is that all right? Don't leave Christ. We are complete in him because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. God sees us as having everything we need. Amen. He said, even so, thus shall it be. Verse number 30, I think he already said, even though shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. He's talking about now. He brought up Noah, but he's talking about right now. Amen. He brought up Lot, but he's talking about right now. Amen. What's going to matter most is my relationship with Christ. Amen. That's going to matter the most. I need to never lose sight of that I'm complete in Christ. Amen. Also, being complete in Christ means that God has given us purpose. Being complete in Christ means because of our relationship with Christ, God has given to us purpose in this life. Amen. Amen. I want to see that all the ones who are graduated from high school and getting ready to enter their first year in college. Do we have anybody getting ready to enter their first year in college? Can I see some hands? Anybody back there? Anybody getting ready to enter their first year in college? And I want to talk to college students. God has given to us, if we baptize into Jesus Christ, God has given to us purpose in life. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. He said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. People are going to come at you for what you believe. Verse number 9, he says, who has saved us and has called us with the holy calling. Watch this. Not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God has given to us purpose in life. Too many oftentimes I see students, they go to these college campuses and now they're driven away from Christ in the sake of some greater cause. And I don't understand that. In the sake of some greater cause. And now they wrap their life all in these causes and it becomes now their whole life. They even forget why they're going to school. They don't go to class no more. When you get on campus, some camps you go to, they pass out flyers to these rallies and they want you to come join them in their movement. They come to their movement and their cause that they're passionate about. And some of them have these calls of social injustice and social inequality. And they have these fights for human rights and gun rights, animal rights and abortion rights and immigration rights and privacy. All the list just goes on and on. And we get wrapped up into these individual things and we lose sight of the Great Commission. God has already given to us a purpose. Don't get up there to college and let somebody try to convince you that your life needs purpose. Your life already has purpose. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, 19 to 20. Jesus said unto his disciples, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even unto the ends of the world. Amen. He said, listen, we have been given a great commission in this life. There is no greater cause than the cause for Christ. There is no greater campaign than the campaign for Christ. There is no greater movement than the movement for Christ. There's no greater crusade than the crusade for Christ. I've seen them go to college and they come back and they all in this social rights movement and they forgot all about Christ. I know if I've seen it, you've been here, you've seen it. They go to college and they lose their identity in Christ. He said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Don't go up there and lose your identity. Don't let nobody tell you you don't have purpose. You already have purpose. Go up there, get your college degree, share the gospel with somebody, and come on out of there. Y'all all right? Vincent, are you not concerned? You're not concerned about social injustice? Yes, I'm concerned about social injustice. We do whatever we can to help. We went out with Brother Ben White. Brother Ben White is running for city council in District B. And some of the singles, we went out there, and he had some good ideas, and we support him. But there's no greater cause than the cause for Christ. There's no greater campaign. We already have purpose. Being complete in Christ means God has already given you purpose in your life. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. Matthew 16, 27. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. I'm going to wait on it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. It won't go up. Okay, it won't. Okay, Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. Jesus says to his disciples, he said, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? We can end all the social injustice we want to, but if his soul is lost, what does it profit him? We can have all the immigration laws we want to, but if their soul is lost, what does it profit them? We can have equal pay for everybody, but if their soul is lost, what does it profit them? He said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You already have purpose in your life. There's no greater cause than the cause for Christ. Amen. There's no greater campaign than the campaign for Christ. Amen. No greater crusade. You already have purpose. Being complete in Christ means that we have access to God the Father, an unlimited source, and means that he's already given us purpose in our life. We don't have to go look for purpose. Amen? Also, being complete in Christ means that God has given us the gift of eternal life. Being complete in Christ means he's given to us. When he looks at us, he sees us as having the gift of eternal life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's through our relationship with Jesus Christ that we have this gift of eternal life. And Paul wanted them to understand this. Let's go Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. He said, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. The Old Testament circumcision removes skin from the flesh. Christ's circumcision removes the sin from the flesh. Right? Verse number 12, he said, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. We have faith in God's operation. Amen. God's operation gives us eternal life. Amen. It's in God's operation that we receive the gift of eternal life. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached the first sermon, and they were pricked in their hearts, and they said, man and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said in Acts chapter 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And baptism is this operation of God, and we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we trust in this operation. When you study the word baptism, it's baptizo. It's really immersion, to be submersed, to go completely under. And so when we baptize, we go completely under, and it's God's operation that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was reading, and I came across, I don't know if y'all remember, Oscar Robertson. He used to play a professional basketball player. Can you put the picture up there? Yeah, that's right. His nickname was the Big O. I don't know if y'all remember the Big O. Oscar Robertson, he played for the Cincinnati Royals, and he also played for the Milwaukee Bucks. The Big O. Well, when they read, he has a book out and reading. Oscar Robertson has a daughter named Tina Robertson. And in 1997, she had lupus, and both her kidneys was failing. She was having kidney failure. And Oscar Robertson says now he's going to give his daughter one of his kidneys. He's going to give his daughter part of himself so that she could live.
Amen.
Jesus. Amen. Big O is here. He's right here. He's still here. Both of them still alive today. But part of him is in his daughter so she could live. We got to catch this. And now listen, when this operation, when you read it, it says it took about over six hours, this transplant. And so the anesthesiologist, y'all all right? Let's get that picture up there. They had to make sure they go completely under, because you don't want to wake up in the middle of this surgery, right? It's over 6 hour surgery. So they got to know what they're doing, right? They got to make sure that they go complete, lose consciousness, go completely under. And they got to have faith in this operation of God. Amen. But just like that, we have to have faith in God's operation. Amen. So when we baptize people, show the next slide. When we baptize, we got to make, listen, we're not being picky. We're not being petty. We're not being difficult. When we baptize them, we want to make sure they go completely under. Amen. Because that's what the word means. That's what baptism means. Amen. When you study the word, it's immersion. It's to be submerged, to go completely under. Because we're trusting in the operation of God. Amen. So when we baptize, now this is God's operation. Amen. And now we're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Good, thank you, bro. He says, now know ye not that so many of us that have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. We baptizing that old man in there. Amen. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall also walk in the newness of life. So when we go in there now, we go down. Peter said, repent and be baptized, be submersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This gift of the Holy Ghost, now God sees us as having eternal life. He sees that gift in us. Just like she's alive and she's part of Oscar Robertson is in her, his daughter.
Amen.
Jesus, God now, God the Father now gives us part of himself. We have now part of himself dwelling in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. That's why we don't want to be attached to anything. When you get this kidney transplant, they change your diet. Your life changed. You just can't do what you want to do and eat how you want to eat. So now when we get this now, when we go down and back and we have the operation of God, you just can't do how you want to do. You just can't live how you want to live. Does that make sense? He said, for you know not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, that which is in you, that you have from God, and you are not your own. So when we go down in the watery grave baptism, he now, this operate, he gives us the gift of the Holy Ghost that we have eternal life in him. Amen. So being complete in Christ means that God sees us as having everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. We have access to the source. He's given us purpose in this life, and he's given us the gift of eternal life. Amen. Peter said, according to his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who's called us to glory and virtue. Amen. You put the last slide up, brother. And we complete in Christ. Don't let nobody try to convince you that you're inadequate because you're not married, because you're single, because you don't have a certain amount of money, because you don't have a certain career, because you don't have. Listen, we got to push back and let them know I'm complete in Christ. Amen. I'm more concerned about how God sees me. How does God view me? God sees, as long as my relationship with Jesus Christ, he sees me as completing. I have everything that I need. Do I have room to grow? Yes, I have room to grow, but he give me what I need to grow. Amen. I already have purpose in life. You get up there in college camp, tell them you already have. Don't get caught up in all these things that are going, all these movements that are going on, and lose sight of why you up there. Lose sight. Know that God has given you purpose. Amen. If you're here today and you haven't yet decided to put Christ on in baptism, God offers to us a peace that this world cannot offer us. Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 14, verse number 27, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What is he saying? The world don't have this type of peace to give. You're not going to find it in alcohol. You're not going to find it in drugs. You're not going to find it in gambling. You're not going to find it in sex. You're not going to find it in money. You're not going to find it in power or position. This world doesn't have it to give. This type of peace only comes from Jesus. This type of peace only comes from being in Jesus. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a spiritual rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. This type of peace only comes from Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And if you're here today, you want to be baptized for the remission of sins, we will baptize you. You'll be submersed and you go down, be washed in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
God performs the operation. You receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You got to hear the word of God. It says faith come by hearing, not by feeling. People going around think, I just felt something. I sat on the edge of the bed and I just felt like I'm saved. And no, don't say that. It said faith come by hearing and hearing by the word. You got to hear the word of God. And then you got to believe what you heard. Amen. John chapter 20, verse 30. John said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his apostles that are not written in this book.
Right.
But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and to believe you might have life in him. You got to believe what you heard. Amen. And then we got to be willing to repent. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, he said, the Lord is not slacking concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long suffering toward, he's patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We got to be willing. Then we got to be willing to confess Jesus. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. He said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. And whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father, which we got to be willing to confess him.
Amen.
And then we got to be baptized in water for the remission of our sin. Just like Peter said on Acts chapter 2, verse 38. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And we're going to be complete in Christ.
Amen.
This is how God sees. Do we have room to grow? Yes, we have room to grow. But how does he see us? How does he see me? He see me having access to him. He see me with purpose in my life. He sees me now with the Holy Spirit of eternal life. Amen. If you want to be baptized, you come down today. We'll baptize you today. If you need prayer, come down and let one of these brothers pray for you while together we stand and sing.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use, can sing well.